What's up, everybody? Welcome to We Have Cool Friends, the cool show where we interview our cool friends about the cool things they're doing. I'm Greg, and this is my cool friend, Bruce Green. Yeah!
Greg Miller!
Wow, Vietnam!
You guys are so nice. I just realized that the title of the show is a compliment to me.
Exactly. We're cool friends. Yeah, right there. You see it?
I mean, it's actually also a compliment to us.
You're right. Kevin's right about that. It's a compliment to you guys, too. But when I read it on the calendar, I was like, wow, they really think I'm cool.
We do. We wouldn't have you here otherwise.
That's actually really nice of you.
Anytime, Bruce. Come here. Give me the handshake. I love you, buddy. Thanks. Oh, here it is. Happy to have you up
man.
Here. Happy to have you.
The hugs you guys give are the best.
We practice a lot on each other. The best. Except Tim. He doesn't like hugs.
He doesn't? I just hugged him.
He doesn't like it. And that was
he came to me for a hug.
I know. He'll do it, but it's kind of like, you know, like, yeah, it's a politics thing. He doesn't want to offend you. You know what I mean?
Politics.
I guess he doesn't like us touching him or his fiance, which is weird.
He doesn't like his fiance touching
him? No, he's got a whole thing.
You know, some people don't like that. Some people do not like physical touch.
Sure.
It's not high on their list of love languages.
Yeah, no, totally.
It is for me.
Yeah.
I like when people touch me.
I'm an act of service kind of guy.
Yeah.
Did you do the language of love test?
I did the whole thing. Mine was a physical touch.
Yeah.
It wasn't gifts. I think it was affirming words.
Oh.
And there was one other one in
there. Act of service, probably. Yeah.
It might have been act of service, yeah. Because I like that one.
Because that's like, you know, helping, like taking out the trash kind of thing.
That's really nice.
Don't get your mind in the gutter, all right?
No. It's not that kind of service. Although, exactly. That's nice, too.
You were the one talking about toes, you know what I mean, on Kind of Funny Games Daily.
So yeah, I was.
A lot of things happening for you today. A lot of things.
I mean, Autumn's asked me a couple times if she can suck my toes, and I always say no.
Why?
Because my toes are gross.
I've
showered and stuff.
Anything, any part of the body's gross, period. Full stop.
Any part?
Yeah. Any part. You're putting in somebody's mouth or something. Something's happening. It's been secreting sweat. It's been doing something. It's been baking in a clove.
Yeah, but you must have tasted a part of your wife's... A part of your wife's body that tasted
don't
great.
Don't get me wrong. Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm getting hung up on here. I'm just saying that if she wants to suck your toes, let her suck the toes. You got nothing to lose. Who cares?
What happens if I give her a disease or something?
You're not going to. I haven't seen your toes. I'm sure they're fine. You're telling me. I look down there right now. You're going to be like that fungus commercial where the dude lifts up the toenail and the funguses are living in there. Oh, I hate it. And they're all animated and they try to make it cute. It's not cute. Really gross. I had a nightmare once about that. Where you opened it up and there was all this like skin and tissue pulling back between my nail and
the nail bed.
Kevin, I got you for 15 minutes of playtime.
What's wrong?
If you didn't know, this is We Have Cool Friends each and every Monday on podcast services, roosterteeth.com, youtube.com/kindoffunny, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames while we record it live. We talked to one of our cool friends. It would mean a lot to us if you took care of this show. It's still brand new. Go to podcast services like iTunes, rate it, subscribe, do all that jazz. Go to YouTube, thumbs up the video, subscribe to that channel. I understand you probably don't watch it or listen to it twice, but just go to the platform you don't use and do all that stuff. It really helps us get other people on here. Because that's the other thing we do with the show. We have cool friends, right? And you're a cool friend. Everybody on the walls are cool friends that has some kind of connection to us. But now I'm starting to approach other people like blind, and I'm like, I don't even know this person. And I'm like, we have cool friends. I'm like, I wonder if that's going to work for us.
A cool friend though? I guess they're a cool friend that you haven't met yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I think. Yeah. I mean, if you agree to come on and be part of our shenanigans, I think you fall under the banner of cool friends.
Okay.
Right. Today we have cool friend Patreon producers like Al Tribesman and David Mindtell. Mind free. Did I do it right?
Yeah.
How do they do it usually? Is it David Mindtell, the mind freak?
I think they're also like, show me a trick.
Show me a trick.
And then they do a tongue thing that I haven't been able to figure it out. For
that?
No, not that. No.
Oh.
It's a noise they make. There it is. Yeah.
We like to have fun with our Patreon producers. Today we're sponsored by MeUndies, HelloFresh, and Upstart. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get into it with Bruce Green.
Mm-hmm.
I like to start the show this way.
Uh-huh.
In a nutshell, you meet somebody at a dinner party. How do you describe yourself and what you do?
Oh, man. Well, at this point, so I've had to do this a long time with my parents and because my parents would say, well, what do you do on a daily basis? And I say, cause I don't do this now, but I'd say I make YouTube videos.
Yeah.
At this point you can say I make online content and that will cover most things.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Before when I was a television producer, I could just say, I produce television, and everyone understood that.
They get that. They wrap their heads around that, really.
Yeah, and then they'd ask more questions about it and have to kind of like get deep in the weeds. But now, I say I make online content.
Okay.
If somebody goes, oh, well, what do you do? Like, do you like, and I was like, well, I play games on the internet and people watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully either comedically or fun, or you know, just hanging out with your friend or whatever. And then that's when people go, people pay for that? And I go, well, they do, but in specific ways. Like, yeah, sometimes they just want to support you with a donation. Sometimes they'll hang out and actually, you know, like be there with you every single day and pay monthly. Or sometimes they just come and watch and they don't support you at all, which is okay. They're still watching.
Just giving that viewership.
Well, and that's a version of support. 100%. In my opinion. So that's what I say. I make online content.
Okay.
Why?
Why what?
Why are you asking?
Oh, so if somebody doesn't know who you are, they understand where we're going with this.
Oh, well, so then, if I'm talking to your guys' audience,
yeah,
then they definitely know. I stream on Twitch.
Yeah, you're twitch.tv/BruceGreen.
I just stream on Twitch, yeah. And mostly that's where I am now. Like, I have my YouTube channel is sort of my, for lack of a better word, dumping ground for where I actually...
Sounds attractive.
Yeah, I know. It's the worst way to put it, but that's where I put all the Twitch streams. And when I can, right now I'm still starting the business up. I'm editing those videos down. When I can get an editor and when I can afford it. If not, I'll put a 3-hour stream on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If you just want to see what I do, it's mainly just me playing games. A lot of people don't know that where I came from with like Funhouse and Machinima and Inside Gaming and stuff like that, I never got to play games.
Yeah.
All of our content is based around video games.
Yeah.
But I would maybe play an hour of a video game a day.
Yeah.
Possibly. That was very rare. Usually,
never at the office, I assume. Outside of like doing demo disc or something.
Oh, no.
Like
it was always for work.
Oh, okay.
It was always recording. And even then, I wasn't playing. I would be sitting behind Adam as he was playing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is because I'm like, oh, poor Bruce. Yeah. That was my job. So I never got to play games. And I'd been Twitch streaming for the last year. And I would play in the evenings and play on Twitch. And people would support me. And I'd go, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting to do what I love to do. And people are supporting me doing it.
Yeah.
And it still blows my mind every single day that I get to fire up that stream. Like today, we're going to do it later.
Yeah.
And people are going to like sub and they're going to give me bits, or they're just going to sit around and chat with me as we play a game. And I'm like, this is my life. I love it. I fucking love it. It's wild. It is wild.
So you went through a whole bunch there and I want to get into all of it, right?
Please do.
But let's start at the top. How long have you been doing this? Twitch.tv/BruceGreen independent. Like this is your job.
Independently.
Yeah.
Just my own thing. So, I've been a Twitch partner for about a year, but I've just started this. So I've been doing about a month and a half on my own full time, maybe a little, let's say 2 months for like 4 to 6 hours a day. But before that I was streaming in my off time just after my day job.
Sure.
Streaming the evenings around weekends or whatever, like 2-3 hours a night for 4 or 5 days a week. Just kind of when I could.
Yeah.
But full time now about a month and a half.
Did it happen to you the same way it happened to us, where we were doing Kind of Funny when we were working at IGN, and it was that conversation of eventually you got to that tipping point of I'm having more fun doing that than I'm having fun making the content for IGN, and that's not a fair relationship for them, right? Because you were at Funhouse, obviously, a huge YouTube channel.
So yes, in short answer, yes, but long answer was Funhouse, getting to sit down with the guys and record a video is the most fun that I can possibly have. I love doing it. I love sitting there with them, making fun of video games or playing a video game or whatever else we get to do.
Yeah.
Making comedy with them is awesome because they're all so incredibly talented and awesome. But I never got to do it. I was managing, you know, a staff of 13 people for a couple of years. Like, we grew and it was awesome, but it was me managing everybody.
Yeah.
And after a while, managing my friends wasn't what I wanted to do. And also running a business, as it was growing and getting larger within Rooster Teeth is something that I like doing a lot. But eventually I got to a spot where all those things that I was doing was pulling me away from what I actually enjoy doing, which is like creative stuff.
Sure.
Making content. And I know that running a business and managing people and all those are all parts of that, but I didn't get to do the creative stuff that I wanted to do. Now, to Rooster Teeth's credit, when I left Rooster Teeth, I was pulling away from those managerial roles and those like logistical roles because I wanted to. And Rooster Teeth was like, yeah, let's try and figure it out. And the more that I pulled away, the more I realized I should just pull myself out entirely. Because I needed a reset. That was it.
Yeah.
I needed a reset. Yeah, and so that's where I landed now, just doing stuff on Twitch.
How hard a decision is that to come to, that you need to do a reset? Because again, it's not even that, you know, you founded Funhouse, right? It's that you were working with everybody at Funhouse at Inside Gaming, right? In Machinima, and you, like, how long have you guys been a team?
We had been a team for almost 7 years.
Jeez.
And I mean, how long have you guys been a team now?
I don't know. I try not to think about it. No. Well, I mean, that's the complicated thing.
It's been a while, right?
Me and Nick have been working together for well over a decade at this point, right? Yeah.
And
12 years, I guess.
So to your question, it was really hard. I mean, I probably spent a year and a half thinking about it, and not even like not like, oh, like I'm leaving, decision. More of just like, how am I going to improve the situation here for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting caught between a rock and a hard place. Where I was there. And it kept coming back to, we were having this conversation earlier. I kept coming back to the same thing, which was we would all have conversations at Funhouse. And in my head, I would always circle back around to, well, we can't change those things because we are not owners of this business.
Right.
We are not owners of Funhouse. Rooster Teeth is. And that was something we knew when we started with them. Like when we started a brand for them, we knew that that was going to be theirs. And so if, you know, as time went on, the more that I wanted to change things or improve things or whatever, that may not have been within Rooster Teeth's ecosystem.
Sure.
Which is okay.
Right.
That's Rooster Teeth's company, right? They can do what they want because that's their company. Well, at Funhouse, if we wanted to change things and we couldn't because it was against what Rooster Teeth was doing, they just couldn't change it. Right. And we would all kind of go like, okay, can't change it. Move on. For me personally, eventually I got to a point where it's like, well, maybe I can change it on my own.
Sure.
Right?
Maybe yeah, no, I totally.
Start it on my own and be like, all right, let's see how it goes, just me. And it's fucking scary.
How you preach to the choir on that one? I know that.
It is scary. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's why I spent a long time thinking about it.
But that's, I mean, why did the interest win out over the fear, the terror?
Because I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Actually the older I got, the more I looked at my beard and noticed more gray hairs.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yeah. You got them too.
Oh yeah.
And actually I talked to Matt Holm on the way out, who's the CEO of Rooster Teeth. And when I talked with Matt, I was like, if anybody understands this, Matt, I think it's probably you.
Yeah.
Because Matt did the same thing. Like he left a job, although he didn't leave a job that he was enjoying. To a certain extent, I think there were things that he probably enjoyed about certain jobs that he was into. I don't want to speak for him, but he started his own company based around creative content because that's what he wanted to do. And it was like, it's a big leap. And I told him that. I was like, this is what I would like to do. I wanted to do it in 2015 when we left Machinima. And the cards didn't fall that way. And now I'm 5 years older. Feel like I'm a little more well-versed at starting a business and doing that sort of thing. I was like, this seems like a great time for me. Because in a couple of years, I'm going to be 40. And then I can't do this. I can't start a company when I'm 55 or so. I mean, I guess I can, but it's like.
Sure. Who knows?
It's pretty far along. Right?
We're all getting to this thing where we're getting to that uncharted territory of like, yeah, usually personalities on TV, right, would do this or burn out or go to something. And like now we're all in this thing of the YouTuber, whatever, commentating on the industry podcast. And it's like, what does it look like when I'm 55? Am I doing a show for 55-year-olds about gaming?
You might be.
Talking about my life. Yeah.
Yeah, you might be. So I didn't want to get far, like, you know, 5 more years down the line and be like, oh shit, why did I do it 5 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years
now, do you look back at leaving in 2015 and regret it there?
No, I don't. I don't regret it. Because there were lots of decisions that we all wanted to make together as a group when we left. And there were 7 of us. And I think a few of us were like, let's start our own business. And a few of us were like, I'd rather have a safe job with benefits. And in order to stay as a team, we found a safe job with benefits, Rooster Teeth.
Of course.
And it was great. so I was really glad that we did that at that time, because otherwise we would have split and it wouldn't have been what Funhouse is today.
Sure.
So I don't regret it, but yeah, of course I wish that we had been able to do that, but that's just wasn't in the cards then.
Yeah. I think it worked out okay.
And it's okay. It did work out okay. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think that, that Funhouse, like the people there in terms of the editors and producers and the people that watch the audience, is that that's some of the most dedicated people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In any like medium of content ever. And I feel privileged to have worked for them and with them. Because it's unbelievable. It really is. Like I, every day when I look at that viewership and it was just like this straight line that was like growing.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I was, I always felt so lucky.
Yeah. It's, you know, so interesting because obviously so much of your story, our story is the same story. You've just done different sides and mirrors and different decisions here or there. And I remember us having that same conversation, you know, when we were getting ready and it was that same thing you're talking about. I'm just like, I don't want to look back in 5 years. And so, you know, we'd all still be at IGN.
Yeah.
We'd be happy. We'd be making great shit. It'd be great. But it would, there'd be that part of like, but what if we had done that thing? Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, what if we had done that YouTube thing? And in so many ways too, this is, I don't think we've ever talked about this. It's, I remember when you guys left and started teasing you were doing something and I was so terrified you were about to do a Patreon. Oh. Because it was before we understood the platform where we had launched and we had, you know, we had launched our Patreon. We had been a success story. We had the two big ones. We were reading articles and stuff, but I knew you guys would crush us. And it wasn't
really,
it was before. And like, I've talked about it since, right? Of like, I think when, Easy Allies did it or Danny O'Dwyer did it. And it was that thing of every time something's happened where I'm like, oh God, we're going to lose people. It actually goes the opposite where our audience supports them and us, or their audience comes in and supports us as well. And so like, it's such a backwards way of thinking, but I didn't know any better. And I was so afraid of us getting just out of the gate like we had to have you come in and then have everybody jump over there and all this other stuff.
That makes total sense. It's interesting you say that because I think for a long time on Twitch, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
That I would watch people like start streaming that I didn't know were streaming before. And I'd be like, oh, that's going to affect this other person's audience.
Yeah.
And in reality, it didn't do that.
No.
And everybody just goes up. It's like a rising tide raises all, or, you know, raises all boats.
Totally.
So I would watch the audience not only split off and support their favorite creators, but then do it with other people that they had also watched. And again, super privileged to make content for this audience. Now they're rabid, meaning like they're going to come in and support you forever. Also, they may turn on you really, really fast if something goes wrong.
Sure.
And so that's why you just have to be more careful with the people that I've talked to. And I always try to be extremely careful with the way I make content for these people and to making sure that it's authentic. Because otherwise they can sniff it out. They know right away. But they'll go with you and they'll go with their other favorite creators too.
Yeah.
They're going to go with everybody that's like, ah, fuck yeah. Like we want everybody to succeed. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's crazy. It and it does, I feel, fly in the face of conventional thinking on so many levels. And I think now we're all used to it. Now it's the norm. But, you know, I remember going to that first VidCon and being told, you know, that like there's no competition, there's only collaboration, which made sense to me on YouTube. Of course, it's free to sub, it's free to leave a comment, it's free to watch a video. But when it did get to like dollars and cents in a brand new platform, it was a concern.
Yeah.
And it's funny to see that it had more people coming to the platform has only made Patreon stronger, right?
Yeah.
And in actually, it's, you know, when they change something goofy out of the blue that really fucks up Patreon. But so, here's where we rewind.
Yeah.
How does one become Bruce Green? How do we start on this track to becoming the internet sensation that is Bruce Green?
It's so funny because I'm not. So the internet sensation, I watch a lot of other content. I'd watch you guys. I'd watch Couch Hop. I'd watch Jericho on Twitch. I'd watch Pay Money Wubby. I'd watch all these other like people that are streaming on Twitch or making YouTube videos or whatever. And I'm like, those guys are internet sensations.
Yeah, right.
Those guys are like, I was like, that's where I'm headed. I'm gonna get there eventually. Just don't know when. So I don't consider myself that at all. And in reality, it's like and I think it's because I'm looking at numbers. I'm always looking at like specific numbers. I'm like, oh wow, they got this. Oh wow, like those people got this many people watching. But then people next to me will be like, dude, you've been making content for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not see this? And I think, I guess when I left Rooster Teeth, I was like, oh, I guess people do want to see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's really neat. it's really, really neat. And I'm humbled by it. I'm not even, it doesn't even make me feel more of like I get, you know, a big head about it.
It's
opposite. I'm like, oh boy, like there's pressure on me now.
100%.
Now I gotta live up to it. So the way I started was the way I think anybody else should start, which was, I loved the television network G4.
Hell yeah.
It was an all video game television channel that was simultaneously way ahead of its time and garbage. because I watched all of it. I watched it night and day. And I was like, I can't believe they made a television channel about video games.
Yeah.
And so I applied at G4 when I got out of college because I'd watched it.
Where'd you go to college?
UCSB.
What'd you go for?
Computer science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I got my computer science degree because I was going to program possibly games.
Okay.
Or whatever else. But you know, just because I was like, oh, this will be cool. But I wanted to be in entertainment too. I was a radio DJ as well at a little commercial
college station.
No.
Oh, okay.
A commercial radio station. Like I was actually helping to run a commercial radio station in Santa Barbara. So I was doing both, and when I got out of college, I applied at G4. It's a great story. If you've heard me talk about it, I'll say it again.
Just act like it's new.
Sorry, because it's true and it sounds ridiculous, and I don't want people to do it. But this is what I did. I applied to G4 over and over online.
Sure.
I went to their website and just applied for I want to say 13 positions. They had a bunch of openings because they were just moving to LA.
Where were they based before?
So they had just merged with Tech TV from San Francisco.
Gotcha.
And Tech TV was moving down to San Francisco, to LA.
What year are we ballparking?
2004.
Okay.
They were moving down. A bunch of positions opened up. And I was like, I'll apply for all of these. I was nowhere near experienced
enough
to get any of those jobs.
I worked at a radio station.
Yeah.
Mr. Sessler, please.
It was like when I was like segment producer on a television show. I was like, I could do that. And I just applied for all these things. And the HR lady finally called me.
I was like, please stop applying.
And she was like,
really?
She was like, you need to stop. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I had no idea. I just was applying there because I want to work at G4. And she was like, well, first, I need you to stop. Don't apply for any more jobs online because you're not experienced enough for any of these. And I went, oh, okay. And I expected the hang up, right?
Yeah.
I expected her to be like, so don't do it again. Bye. And she was like, but I may have a job for you that you did apply for. That you are experienced enough for. And I was like, oh, cool. So she got me an interview. I got in, interviewed, got the job.
What was the job?
It was a product coordinator for Tech TV. And basically I was like in charge of acquiring products from different companies to review.
Okay.
Tech TV. And when I arrived there, within 2 months, I was telling people, I can write reviews for these. I can do that. I can write reviews. And they're like, stop. They're like, just stop. And my boss at the time, Andrew, was nice enough to be like, you can review one product. Review this one product. And I was like, okay. And so I wrote it. And I think it was okay.
Yeah.
And it got picked up by a tiny little magazine. And I think that's probably what made him take notice. Because he was like, oh, you kind of wrote it in not a way that was written for a 55-year-old man. Because I tried to write it a little more fun and
jazzy.
Jazz it up. And kind of from there on out, I was like looking for any way to get my hand into content.
Sure.
Because I loved doing it. I loved it. I loved being a DJ. I loved watching other people make YouTube videos. I made YouTube videos before YouTube was around. Where it was like me and my friends doing like Jackass style stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
totally. So you're talking about the camcorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, we all
did. And I bought the camcorder and like I actually bought a camcorder off eBay, got scammed out of $600.
Wow.
Lost $600 and then spent another $600 on a camcorder again because I was so into it.
Also from eBay or did you go to a store this time?
Also from eBay.
God damn
it. I did it again. I know that was a stupid move, but I got it.
Yeah.
Got the camcorder this time. And I was making videos, and this I was like 18.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what to do with these videos. What do I do with them? Because I couldn't put them on YouTube because there was no YouTube.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. Oh, I remember when we were like, how do we digitize our backyard wrestling tapes?
Yeah.
And we looked into it, like, that's really expensive. So we'll just
way
sit
too
here.
Hard. Yeah,
yeah, we're not going to do this.
Yeah. And so as time went on, I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. I want to be able to make content. And then when I was at G4 Tech TV. I left for like a couple of years. I got laid off twice. From G4 and Tech TV because of cuts. And then eventually came back in 2007 to work on Attack of the Show, which was the daily hour-long live variety show on G4. When I started there, I was like, put me on camera. I can talk about the stuff that I'm reviewing. I'm reviewing tech products, and I can talk about it. And they're like, no, can't do that. You're not a host. And I was like, all right, I'm not a host. So I spent 5 years there being a segment producer.
Wow.
Doing that stuff. Made a ton of amazing friends and just people that I knew were like just amazingly talented and hardworking people there. And when I left there to go to Machinima offered me a job on camera.
I was going to say, did they headhunt you or did you apply?
I applied because I had friends leaving to Machinima from G4. And I applied and I said, I remember saying in the interview, I will do all of the things for you that you want me to do and I can do them well, but I need to be on camera because I love it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, done. No problem. And they were the first place to put me on camera. And I just loved it. I loved it. I just love entertaining people.
Yeah, yeah, like totally.
I know you do too.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I love watching people smile. I love getting feedback. I love seeing people come up to me on the street and be like, oh man, I watch the Funhouse videos are amazing. It's so funny. It's like blah, blah, blah. I fucking love that shit.
You're like, I'm on Twitch now. Only talk to me about the current product.
No, it doesn't matter what it is.
Smash the camera out of
there. No, it's just, I just love it.
Hell yeah. So the computer science is the interesting angle. Ooh. Like, did you know, like, growing up, you wanted to do something in some way that was entertaining, but you thought it was the safe route to go into computer science?
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. Computer science was a backup. And that's because I also loved computers when I was a kid.
Sure.
I was constantly fucking up my dad's Mac.
Nice.
Because I was always trying to tweak it to make it faster or whatever else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And always breaking it.
Maybe you should look into entertainment.
to my parents' credit, they actually, instead of saying that, they supported me and they kept buying new computers.
Oh, wow.
Because they knew. They knew. They were like, yeah, we'll get you the fucking internet. We'll get you the 2400 baud modem. Here, just plug it in and do what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Because they knew I loved it.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, well, maybe it'll be something in the future. Turns out it's all
paid off. It paid off. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the reason I got a computer science degree, because I was like, well, gotcha. I know about it. I like it. I don't necessarily want to do it as much as I want to do entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thankfully they've kind of met in the middle and I'm doing both.
Yeah. You've been able to unify them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long grand total at G4?
At G4, I was there from 2004 to 2011. So a grand total of probably about 5.5 to 6 years, because I left in the middle.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about the fact that when you started watching it, it was both the best and the worst kind of content, right?
It's garbage, yeah.
Do you feel like you made an impact on it there, making it better when you were there and getting it to somewhere you wanted it to be?
Kind of.
Yeah.
We always had a joke at G4 when we were making that show. We used to always say that the stuff before, like there was a show called Call for Help. I don't know if you ever watched Tech.
I didn't watch Call for Help.
No. Call for Help. There's also the Screensavers, which is where Attack of the Show originated.
I do remember that one.
Screensavers was also a daily hour-long live show, and my friend Jeremy produced for it, and he would be like, it's unwatchable. the stuff we're making is unwatchable. No one will watch it. And they were right. The ratings would come in, and nobody was watching it.
Yeah.
Attack of the Show was definitely better. The stuff we were making was, like, in our opinion, it didn't make any sense for us to make a show that was an hour-long daily live show when each segment should have been on the internet.
Right.
Should have been a YouTube video on the internet.
Right.
And so all of us thought that. We were always like, why are we making... And it was because we were trying to fulfill television obligations.
Totally.
And instead, the segments of the show should have just been YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And the two hosts of the show, for the majority of the show, Kevin and Olivia, are, again, some of the most talented, amazing people I've ever worked with. I don't know that I ever could have had better hosts for that show.
Yeah.
Even the fill-in hosts like Chris Hardwick and Allison Hayslip, like, they were awesome. It was just rad that a lot of people called what we did on Attack of the Show, like people that worked there called it TV camp, because that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd show up and 30 of us would make a daily hour-long live show, when in reality, in actual television, it would take 60 to 70 people to make that show.
Right.
So we were killing ourselves?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
To make this tiny little show that nobody watched. And then when it went away, everyone's like, what? What? Where did it go? I love Attack of the Show. Like, you didn't watch it.
I'll tell you where it went. Yeah, you didn't support it.
But I think we made an impact on it.
That was my thing, is I remember when G4 debuted, and I remember it being, you know, TV for gamers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember turning it on, and, you know, it would have been the Burbs of Chicago, right, at my parents' house, and looking, and I was like, and it felt, it's what you're talking about, what works now. It lacked the authenticity when it launched, at least what I was watching.
No, it did.
And I can't speak for every show you guys had.
Yeah.
Or you weren't even there yet.
Yeah.
But when it launched, and I remember that being the thing for me, it just clicked to the next channel, and that was, like, for me, I'm writing off G4. And I remember years later coming back and catching Kevin and Olivia hosting Attack of the Show and being like, oh, okay, this isn't what I thought it was anymore. You know what I mean? I think I might have been when Jess popped up for the first time. I remember that was a big deal for us at IGN that Jess was going over to co-host and be on this show. I was like, holy shit, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Because, again, that was a different era of there wasn't collaboration. There was competition. And you didn't acknowledge anybody else.
And it's weird. It's weird now that we're here because we're collaborating.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Right this minute. And I don't know why people would ever think not to collaborate.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. It strengthens all brands when you have authentic people going to different other places and doing other things.
I mean, I think it's just, the way you didn't know any better. I honestly feel like I always talk about I started at IGN at the end of the founders era. Right. Like I started there as like the original guard was really starting to burn out.
What year was that?
2007.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it was that thing of being there and like, I got hired on the PlayStation team, which meant internally we competed against the Xbox team.
Oh,
and like, it was a big deal. Like every team was scrounging and scrapping for their own exclusives to then put it up that we had this and try to talk about traffic for that channel. You know what I mean? Like it was like that granular in terms of competing against each other to then expand out to like how, GameSpot wasn't allowed to talk to IGN people when they saw us at events. Like
that's wild.
It's crazy. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing of, I felt like it gave you such an insular view that you didn't, and it wasn't good for anybody not to know what was happening on the outside. Now, granted, it was a different time because it was mainly written content and stuff. Like, there can be a good feature, but even op-eds weren't really the deal people were doing. It was previews and it was reviews, and that's what it was, news to an extent. Mm-hmm. I remember when IGN started, the news team had already been started by the time I got there, but I remember that being a big deal.
Absolutely,
that was happening, right? Yeah, but it's all, I always think about it, I remember, I always joke around about Rooster Teeth and how, the first time I met Bernie or whatever at a VidCon. He was with Ashley. We knew Ashley from IGN. And then when we walked away, Tim trying to explain to me what a big deal it was that he just invited me on the Gauntlet. Oh. And I was like, I don't know what the hell Rooster Teeth is, man. He's like, no, it's Red versus Blue. I'm like, I don't know what that is. He's like, oh, it's that moving the rock and then finding out that there's millions of fans behind that
Absolutely.
Thing. And it was the same way with you guys. Because what it was, right, is like, cool, you're doing the Gauntlet. Here's iJustine. All right, yeah, I know her. Here's Freddie Wong. Great. Adam Kovic.
Who?
Who's Adam Kovic? He does Inside Gaming. What is Inside Gaming? Everybody's like, it's huge. It's a huge show. It's bigger than Beyond. I'm like, it's bigger than Podcast Beyond. You know what I mean? It was like, and then you move the rock and found everybody. It's like, oh my God, like there was this whole thing going on.
Yeah.
So what is the road there at Machinima? You come in, you can do all the different things they want you to do, which is still segment producing.
It's producing shows. Okay. But actually, honestly, it's producing segments that should have been on Attack of the Show, but are now YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So it's exactly what it should have been. But then also being on camera. So and then in terms of producing the news too, I was also doing news for like entertainment. It was called ETC. And I did that for a little bit at Machinima, and I was kind of trying to find my place within there because I was a producer on the news team for entertainment, which was awesome. And then I also made a little technology show called Recnology where I would review the technology because that's what I did before. And then I would break it, Recnology. and that was fine. Like it was funny because I liked making the show and I liked doing the stunts, but everybody online was like, why the fuck do you break the technology?
Just give it away. I'll take it.
Yeah. Every comment was always like, I'll just take it. Just send it to me. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's not about that.
No, it's it's in the title.
Yeah.
Can't give it to you. It's like Giveology.
An iPhone and an acid. That's what you're supposed to do. But eventually landed in Inside Gaming.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of 2013 at Machinima. And when I got there, Kovic had just lost a bunch of other employees because there was a big layoff at Machinima.
Yeah.
And when I started there, I was like, well, wait a minute. Why aren't we doing these things with gaming news? Like, you guys are, you've got all the tools. We just need to use them correctly. And then that's what we did. It was like an immediate thing where I had been thinking about it anyways because I'd been watching them produce gaming news while I was producing entertainment news. And I was just like, oh, just apply those to gaming news at Machinima and be like, and it'll go. And that's what happened. Kovic and I became really good friends. And all of a sudden we worked really well together. And because we'd known each other for a while because of Machinima. And I hired James because James had just gotten laid off.
Yeah.
So I brought him back literally the next
day. Was he laid off from G4?
Machinima.
Okay.
He had been laid off from Machinima. And the next day I called him. I was like, I don't know why you were laid off. I need you back. and so he came back. And then we just started our little comedy channel along with doing gaming news. Gaming news was priority, but the comedy channel was just sort of like we'll do it for fun on the side, because Joel Rubin was advising us to do it. He was like, you guys got to make a channel. Like, why not? You got time.
Yeah.
And we've got this little space. Let's do it. Great idea.
Yes, it turns out that was a good investment.
Yeah,
too.
Because James Adam and I all sort of had the same comedic feel, along with Matt Peak, who was there as well. And Matt was editing, and Matt knew everything backwards and forwards. It was like all these people knew everything. All they needed was a focus. That was it.
Yeah.
And then once we had that focus, bang, it was like just gone.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was just like, it was one of those things where it just hit. And I was like, yeah, that's the way it should have hit that way. And it hit all these little benchmarks along the way in my head that I had specific goals just for us. And for the next 2 years at Machinima, that's what we did.
When that's, you're talking about hitting it and hitting the stride and going with it, is that when it takes off for you? Is that the first time you have people stopping you and stuff and like being like really into it? Because you guys have such a loyal,
now
dedicated audience.
Yeah. It took like a year and a half.
Okay.
It took like a year and a half before people were coming. Because like the first time we went to PAX, there's a great story. The first time we went to PAX East in 2013, we did a meetup. And we had been doing this stuff there for about 4 months, maybe 5 months. Was this 13 or 14? It may have been 14. Either way, PAX 2013, we had a meetup. It's like getting a meetup. Come join us at this park.
Yeah.
Seven people showed up.
Yeah.
And all of us were like, oh no, nobody's watching. Like we see the numbers. Like, where are these people?
Yeah.
And the people that showed up, it was just a really funny little meetup that we did. And we actually had a few of the people now I still keep in contact with, you know, because it's like, well, we know them.
Yeah.
They're dedicated fans. They're still with us.
Oh, yeah.
And so it took about a year and a half before we finally got to a place where we went to a PAX and people were like, oh, yeah, Inside Gaming, we watch your stuff.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. Great job. And we're like, oh, all right. Got it. So it took a long time. It took a really, really long time.
Do you kind of miss the small meet and greets?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do miss the
small meet. Don't get me wrong. I love it. And I'm happy when people come. But yeah. I was joking around the other day. Ryan De La Rosa came through town. Not a name I expect many people to pick up on, right? He has a life, but he's the first ever fan of GameScoop who emailed me and Damon and was like, hey, like, I have free time, and I was wondering if I could just come out and hang out with you guys for a weekend. And we were like, all right, yeah, come on out. We took him to a Sega event. We went drinking. It was just like, now to have that and still talk to him and hang out with him when he comes through town is, like, so cool. You know, when you go to meet and greets now, and it is... I never want it to be cow call. I never want it to be just a handshake and a photo and see you later kind of thing,
But
it's like so hard to give everybody the right amount of time and still fulfill the requirements we have to go do and all these different things.
Yeah, and it's like you said at the beginning of the podcast, it's like, oh, woe is us, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know, right? Oh, we're too popular.
And that's the thing is that like I don't ever want it to sound like that. I'm not saying that because it's actually the opposite. I want to be able to talk to everybody and be like, hey, like, how was your trip? Like,
exactly.
How did you get here?
I want to have a real
like,
conversation with
you. What do you like about, you know, like, what do you like about my content? What do you like about video games? Like, have an actual conversation with people.
Yeah.
I don't get to often. Recently, we did a thing where we were supposed to sell tickets for Funhouse Live. There was a Funhouse Live event we were going to do. This was 2018. We couldn't do it because didn't sell enough tickets. We sold like 50% of the tickets. And we were like, fuck. People have already bought their tickets. They've already booked their trips for Los Angeles.
They've got hotel rooms. They've got
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So we just said, come to Dave & Buster's. If you bought a ticket, come to Dave & Buster's, show up. We'll do a meet and greet. And it was great.
Yeah.
There were like 150 people there. We got to sit around and drink with them and talk with them for three hours.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was just fun to meet people and like, you know, again, talk about their lives, talk about like what brought us to them and what brought us to, you know, that whole thing.
Exactly.
Make a connection.
What it's really about. Yeah.
And it was awesome. I loved it. And that was like the days of old.
Yeah.
When I didn't have to like, you know, like rifle through a bunch of people because everybody wants a picture and that's totally fine. I want to take pictures.
Of course. Yeah. But I also want to make sure everybody gets, I want to touch every table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you came this way, I want to make sure you get something.
Me
you
too.
Get some kind of experience out
Me
of it.
Me too. That's really important. I think that's what separates internet content from television and movies.
100%. And that's why it's so hard to explain. When people are like, what do you do? And it's like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to wrap that around. And then especially how I think when, I don't know how it is for you, but like when my friends or family are like, oh, yeah, and like introducing, like, he's a celebrity. And it's like, oh, no, I'm not a celebrity at all. You know what I mean?
No,
best case, internet celebrity. But like, that's just because I'm trying to explain it to you in terms you understand. that, yeah, people know who I am. That's all. But I always talk about it like we have the best kind of fame. We're literally people passing on the street like, oh, hey, Greg. I'm like, hey, man. Yeah. Really love that thing. Goth X, man. All right, see you later. Yeah, exactly. I'm off to do my shit. Yeah. You're not that big of a deal. I'm like, great, cool.
Yeah. And it's not like Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly. You know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
But also those old media, television movies don't have that connection with the audience that internet content does. Not at all.
Back to that authenticity, right? It's the fact that we all love Robert Downey Jr., right? Because he is an awesome Tony Stark, because he is awesome in Sherlock Holmes. You love Greg or Bruce or Kevin or whoever because they are themselves. And they know everything about them. I don't know. I have no earth. I can tell you all about everything RDJ's done in the movies. I don't. Is he married? What's his wife's name?
Does he
have a kid? I don't know any of that shit, right?
Yeah.
You guys know if Portillo's shitting weird because I'm talking about it and telling you on a daily about it.
Yeah. That's the point. We're real people. That's one of the things that is really important that I often have been saying recently, especially, is that we are real people with real feelings. So when you are coming down really hard on something, and I'm not saying you shouldn't criticize, but when you come down really hard on something and you're like insulting people, it's not like you're just shouting it out at Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Like, 100%. Who will not see it? And it doesn't live on the internet and doesn't live on Twitter and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like,
not to mention you still shouldn't do it.
That's true. Yeah. We live there.
Yeah.
And so when we see those comments, I mean, I take it to heart. I'm oh man, did I really do that? Like, I'm really sorry. Like, I feel really bad. Or like, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't say that. That wasn't my intention.
Yeah.
That really actually affects me.
Oh yeah. You and I were talking about it today, right? I was psyching myself up for today because it's Games Daily. It's We Have Cool Friends. Then right after this for us, it's the Kind of Funny Podcast. You get a break and eat your lunch.
Yeah.
Then you come streaming. I'm like, I know how tough today, not tough, but how grueling today will be in a good way of making all stuff. And so it's like psyching myself up, prepping in my head all the different run of shows I had to make when I got here. And then I was in a car and I'm like, I'm going to look at the subreddit. And one of the new threads, right, is like, what could Kind of Funny do better? And I'm like, I got to shut this. I cannot read this right now. I cannot go with the you know, hairline I'm running on right now. This razor's edge. I cannot also do that and push myself over.
Yeah. And again, it's not to say I don't take criticism.
No, 100%. I will be in that thread reading all of it.
Constantly responding to criticism, and I'm trying to give people reasons why things are done or whatever. But at the same time, don't feel like when you're like, fuck off, Greg Miller. I fucking hate you. You're stupid.
Yeah.
That goes straight to Greg. Greg reads it and goes, damn, that kind of hurt. Like,
I am fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well, imagine if you stood in front of Greg and said that,
of course,
to your face. Yeah. They probably wouldn't do that.
And that's how you know how the internet works, where if you respond to that comment most of the time, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm having a bad day. Yeah. I'm really mad about this, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's hard to wrap that when you are getting that, right? Wrap it around and deal with that. I'm like, okay, cool.
So it's different. I'm not saying you should shout at RDJ either. It's more about just trying to level up the discourse.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, like, and I think everybody's guilty of it at some point where like you might get a little snippy. Like it was like I don't know if you ever saw the EA. The EA Respawn developers talking about Apex.
Oh, yeah.
They were like,
this is what happens when entitled gamers get data. I remember back in my day, we were able to do it. And it's like,
I was like, ooh, boy.
I mean, you're not wrong, but like, I would not say it that way. You're not 100% wrong.
I knew exactly where they were coming from, and I kind of agreed with them. But
messaging wise,
the way they said it, I was like, oh no,
it's the same thing you saw the Ooblet stuff, right? On the Epic Game Store. I was like, what a funny way of saying everybody fuck off. They didn't think they were saying fuck off, and so when everybody was like, you told me to fuck off, they're like, we didn't mean to, we're sorry. It's like, oh man,
yeah, it's tough because I think we're held to a higher standard, obviously, because we're out there,
right?
But it is also our job,
totally.
So it's like, yeah, it's our job, we've accepted the risks at the same time, we are humans, so. Hey, treat us like a human. You know, treat us like you would treat a human. I don't know.
Does your girlfriend Autumn get that? Does she understand it? Because she was already part of, obviously, Sugar Pine 7.
Yeah.
She already had like an online persona.
Yeah.
But then for you guys to get together, I think that elevated it a bit.
It did. And she's never been the type of person to want an online persona.
Yeah.
She's opposite. She's not, doesn't want to be on camera. When she streams with me, it's because I'm asking her. I'm like, hey, will you
do me a favor?
Will you play a game with me? Yeah, do me a favor. Exactly. And she's like, yeah, totally. Like, cause she's into it and she likes to do it. But at the same time, I don't think she would spend her time on camera.
Yeah.
So when she got the online persona, that's a bigger deal for her because she is like, I don't think she's like, she doesn't want to engage in, you know, like a slap fight with people on the
internet. Oh yeah, no, totally.
And when she sees something negative about her or something that's wrong, it affects her greatly.
Yeah.
And she's like me when she wants to get on and be like, no, it's not like that. You're speculating. Please don't speculate. You're totally, and also you're wrong. Here's what's actually happening. Like, don't speculate about my life or my feelings or whatever. You could just ask, or also maybe don't do that.
Yeah. Personal space.
Yeah. Whereas I've been in the spotlight a little longer, so I've maybe built up a little bit of a thicker skin. She has. So I feel bad for her at times, cause she doesn't, I don't want her to deal with that. And she understands it's part of it, but at the same time, it's tough.
So yeah, of course.
This is a weird push and pull that I talk about all the time with Autumn and a lot of other people. And I don't ever want it to sound like we're complaining.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because truthfully, it's not complaining. It's more of like, how do I deal with it?
It's the fact of, I think you're so much like me in the way you handle it, right? Of like, I get to be best friend to thousands of people. And yeah, that means that, you know, and it's been years of it for me, but being open about so much and everything, right? And having that relationship with the listener, with the viewer. But then, yeah, when you bring somebody new into the fold who hasn't had that and didn't sign up for that, right, necessarily. Yeah.
No.
That's the juggling act, let alone you then bringing it into the house now that you're streaming from it nonstop.
I know. And she's a champ. She's really been, like, not only has she put up with it, but that's not the right word. It's more she supported it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's encouraged exactly.
It. And so now it's all the time. And it's actually, like, on some days I get to stream alone. And I'm like, this is great because I don't have to worry about her being anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Hopefully she can take a break.
Yeah, you
know?
Exactly.
So, I don't know.
For you branching out on your own now, what's the, we talked about, you know, the fear of it all.
Oh my gosh, so scary.
What's the excitement? Like, what have you had that moment yet? Have you had that?
Okay. Yeah, no, the excitement was when we announced, like, Autumn and I were streaming the day that I tweeted it out. I was leaving Rooster Teeth. And, I mean, the positivity, the optimism, and the actual support on Twitch came pouring in. It was like a waterfall of just unbelievable positivity that I had not ever seen really on the internet around me. And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like riding high for weeks on this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't believe it. People want to watch what I'm doing and they're also supporting it.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. It blew my mind. And I was like, well, I'm going to come crashing down to Earth at some point. I just don't know when it is. And for now, fuck it. Who cares? I'm having a great time. Might as well just, you know, just ride this out as long as I possibly can. And it's still, just the other night, I was streaming Arma. It's only a few people. It was like a lower viewer count because viewers have been down on Twitch a little bit. And I was like, I still want to do it. I still want to stream. It's still harder with a smaller audience. And some person came in and just blew me away with support.
Yeah.
Like, it blew me away with gift subs and all this other stuff. And I was just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky. I'm so, like, I don't know how to say it. I'm just incredibly lucky that people are still doing that now. I'm sure in 3 months' time, it'll have evened out. And I'll kind of like,
oh, you'll still get that though.
There'll still be those times where somebody will come in and just blow me away with whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how to say thank you for this.
So how are you handling your strategy then at this? Because I'm assuming you call yourself a variety streamer.
Yeah.
You're playing. Absolutely. So like, is it literally when you turn it on that day, what you feel like playing?
Yes and no. I've been like strategizing a little more now that it's my actual job.
Yeah.
For example, I'm doing GTA roleplay on NoPixel, which is like a little server that has a bunch of different really badass streamers that are streaming roleplay.
Yeah.
And I was able to get into it after months. And so now it's like, all right, well, I got to do this once a week because it's really fun. And it's one of those things where people work to get me into it.
Okay.
So it's like there's some time invested in this, right? Destiny's the same way.
Yeah.
Destiny was like, I was like, well, I should probably actually get pretty good at the game, right?
Put the time in
if I'm going to be able to, yeah. And I want to do the raid on stream and do the whole deal. So I've started strategizing a little more and like checking releases, figuring out when things are coming out.
Sure.
I'm really excited for Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm super excited for that because it looks like a return to form and also like some really badass game modes that that ideally I'll be pretty good at. We'll see. I doubt it, but we'll see.
See how it nets out.
Yeah. And so that's how I'm mapping out the month.
So are you at the point where, like, you talk with Arma, right? Lower viewer count.
Yeah.
Does that, you look at it like, no big deal. Or is that something then embed your line? They're like, why are my viewers down? What if I did this? Should I have promoted it this way? Does Tuesday need to be taco games?
That's exactly right. Like, I'm getting to that point now where I'm like, well, how do I do the thing that I want to do, like Arma, but then bring the viewer count up?
Yeah.
How do I try something new? That's the best part about the internet, by the way, is you get to try something new anytime you want and find out how it actually does.
Instantaneous feedback. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. That's my favorite part of Twitch and YouTube is piloting. It's called, like, for me, it's piloting because of television.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just how to get the viewer count up, how to get more people to watch, because I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing is good. I know what I'm doing is fun. And I know that I'm having fun doing it. So now I just need to get more people onto it. That's it.
And so what do you got? Big plans? Collaborations, doing stuff like this?
Big plans.
Twitch.tv/BruceGreen.
This is definitely one of the things that I wanted to do, because I knew that when I came here, well, number one, I get to talk with all of you guys. That's my favorite part of doing this. But number two, ideally, hey, five people hear this podcast and go, well, this dude doesn't sound like a complete douche. What is his Twitch presence? Not a complete douche. So what is his Twitch presence like?
Yeah.
And they'll go check it out. And maybe they'll like it. Yeah. Maybe they'll stick around and watch. And if not, that's okay. I still had a great time here. So, but that's sort of the point. And there's also somebody on stream just the other night suggested, hey, get a heart rate monitor. And... because I was like,
scary games?
I was gonna, like, I'm gonna play scary games for Halloween, of course, just like everybody does, as you should. And they're like, I'll get a heart rate monitor. I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. So I did.
Nice.
So I have one at home waiting. So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna try to do one once a week.
Nice.
I've also gotten something mapped out with someone who is doing they're writing original scary stories.
Oh.
And I'm gonna try and do podcasts with her once a week, building up to Halloween.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
That's something that I really like to do. I want to bring on other people, just friends of mine, on like podcasts or just even like a 2-hour stream just to talk.
Sure.
Those are things that like I have kind of loosely planned out.
So with all that said,
yeah.
And you doubling back to what we were talking about earlier, like, you know, what 55, 40 years old.
Oh yeah.
What are you trying to do? Is this a stopgap right now where you're streaming until you figure it out, or is this your life now?
Okay. So it is my life now. And this is a great question, because a lot of people, I see this all the time. I see this all the time on my YouTube channel and even on Twitch. People will come in and be like, this is your business? Because I tweeted out when I left Rooster Teeth, I was like, I'm going to start my own business. And everyone's like, and that's the immediate sarcastic response, which is, this is your business? 5 hours of Destiny? Are you joking? And then I have to go, hey, this is everybody's business. So when Ninja was first streaming, he was streaming to, let's say 500 people, whatever. That was a business he was running.
Yeah.
He was running a business. And same with YouTube. YouTube was the same exact deal. All of your favorite YouTubers, they started out making little videos on the side or whatever else. That was their business.
Yeah.
And they it grew. They would build it up however they wanted to do it, whether or not it was they stuck to themselves like Ninja, or Ninja went and collaborated with Drake.
Yeah.
And that skyrocketed a Ninja right into a different era of streaming. But that's always been an individual's business. So that for me is what this is now. I'm kind of building the brand, building the presence of myself online, because I've never done really that before. And then along the way, I'm sure I'm going to catch up with other people, whether or not it's you guys in LA come down and like you sit with me for a 2-hour stream and we do, you know, dick around on the internet, or I'm able to talk to someone like Brett from Cow Chop, where I'm like, hey, Brett, come by. We'll talk. And then we sit down and play. Brett taught me. He tried to teach me to play Sekiro.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And man, was I bad at it, but he tried to do like, so that's ideally along the way, I'm going to kind of build up hopefully my presence, but then other people around me will be like, yeah, like let's do something consistently together.
Gotcha.
Because they're also running their own business too. Brett's running his own business at Cow Chop, and you guys are running your own business here. And like other streamers that I stream with are running their own streaming business. Like it's just theirs. And so it's just a new world that I don't know that people understand. It's like when I start a business, I'm not like going to open a shop and putting it says like, we're open sign. And it's buy my content. It's not like that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exactly the opposite of me being online all the time now.
Yeah.
That's the business.
Is it what you dreamed of? Because you talked about, you know, like at Funhouse, like, or the origins of Funhouse, right? Like the team wanted to do this, so you went and did it. But obviously had those moments of you'd love to go solo, go out on your, not solo, go out independently.
Yeah.
Now you are.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is exactly what I knew it would be.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to go and because I think everybody thinks that I'm going to do a, like, I'm going to go and like, be okay, well, guess what? Now I've got Adam, James, Elise, and everybody over here. And now we've got a whole nother fun. No, that's not what this is. This is something entirely different. And it's still taking shape.
Sure. Like, of course.
You know, like, this isn't, I didn't have a slideshow with brands and logos and things like, you know, like, to pitch different companies and be like, this is what I'm doing. This is more of just me building up my presence and finding out where this is going to take me. Cause that's the way Inside Gaming started.
Yeah.
I don't know if people remember that, but that's the way it started. We started a channel and we were like, let's make some funny videos. And so we iterated on a bunch of different funny videos and like what will be funny? What will not be funny? What will get an audience? What will not? And eventually it took us about a year and a half to really find a voice, find a consistent form of content. And then we just stuck with it. So
we talked about the origins of Inside Gaming. When did you see that ending? Like, what, like, you know what I mean? When did Funhouse becomes a reality? What's it look like there? Just to put a pin in that.
There's a great, another great story that has probably been told, but
it's like NBC though. It's new to them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true. I don't know if the Kind of Funny audience has heard it, but we were at Machinima, and this was like, I think November of 2014. We ended up leaving Machinima 3 months later, January or February of 2015. And November 2014, we had this really badass office at Machinima. We had the coolest part of this entire building, which was they called it the fishbowl. It was a glass, all glass windows that looked out onto Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. It was
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
An amazing office. I loved it. And they were threatening us for months that they were going to put up a mural on the window that was going to indicate that it was Machinima. And we were like, please don't do this because it'll block all of our windows. And it's also a really terrible mural. It's going to look like shit. Please don't, please don't, please don't. And they're like, no, we're doing it. We want everybody to know this is Machinima office space. And we're like, okay. And COVID tells it best, but we all came in the morning that they'd put that mural up and all of the windows were basically shut off. We couldn't see the street anymore. And it was dark in the room. And we all sat down at our desks and went, I think it's time. And that was it. That was when we had finally made, we had been talking about it for months, but that was the day.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was the day.
And so that happens. You have these conversations of how to do it, but everybody wants benefits. They don't want to do this whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
How does the conversation with Rooster Teeth start?
We had been talking to Ezra Cooperstein for a year, who didn't work at Rooster Teeth at the time. He had worked at Fullscreen.
Okay.
And we talked to Ezra for a long time, but there was never really anything that he had pushed. Like it was like, oh, come to Fullscreen or whatever. It was more of like, well, what would happen if? What would happen if?
Sure.
And we had these meetings with him like every 3 or 4 months or whatever. And then we went to Fullscreen in November of 2014, same time frame. Adam and I went there, showed up to like meet with Ezra, and we saw Bernie in the parking lot. And we were like, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, hey, you know, just meeting. See you later. Drove away. And I think it was like 3-4 days later, we found out Fullscreen had bought Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? No way. So we got together with Ezra, talked about it. Everybody sat down with Bernie and Matt, and we all went, well, I guess, should we go over there? Like, should we bring everybody over there and like do the thing? And and they're like, okay, yeah, let's try it.
Yeah, why not?
Let's,
sure.
Let's try it. I mean, like, we'll have to start an office out here, but let's try it. And we were like, cool. So that's what happened. Like, it was obviously weeks of talk and negotiations and stuff like that. But like, we landed on, okay, we'll start an LA office and like make a little brand out here and see where it'll go.
Yeah. Did you expect it to catch fire the way it did?
It's funny because having worked on it, I never saw that it caught fire.
Yeah. From the outside, let me tell you.
Did
looking
it?
At your numbers, yeah.
Oh, great.
Your fan base and everything else. Yeah, you guys killed,
like,
it.
I are
killing it. So continue.
Oh, and still, you're definitely killing it. For me, it was always like, I was amazed at how many people left Inside Gaming to come to Funhouse when the subscribers like migrated over.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. But then from there, it was just, you know, like slow growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was all hard work. That was all like all of us putting in the time and being like, we're going to be here, you know, 9 hours a day and just making sure that all the content's really funny and like bang, 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 just keep going.
Yeah.
There was never one viral thing that hit that we were like, this is it. We're going to be famous. It was never like that at all. It was just like, make good content. And that's what worked. So
Kevin, write that down. Make good content. We should start doing that. We should start doing that. Don't cry, Kevin. Don't cry. Oh, he's crying.
He was asleep.
Number two, after make good content, don't sleep. Don't sleep. You weren't sleeping over there. I know, Kevin.
No, I wasn't. He wasn't sleeping.
He's mad now.
Hey, don't be mad. Oh.
So then my final Funhouse question.
Yeah.
Well, I guess second final.
Yeah.
How crazy was it to get Inside Gaming back? The actual name? Because yeah. That would be fucking akin to if somehow we ran into Podcast Beyond. Oh, you want it? What the fuck? Yeah, okay.
So that happened last year.
Yeah.
I got a phone call from out of the blue early morning from Ezra, and he was like, hey, Machinima's basically kind of not going away, but we don't know what's happening with Machinima, but we have a chance to grab some of the brands. What should we do? And I was like, well, get Inside Gaming.
Yeah.
And he was like, really? You think it's still viable? And I was like, I mean, even if it isn't, get it and we'll try it. And he was like, well, what do we do with it? And I was like,
you're thinking too hard. Pick it up.
I was like, I was assuming just pick it up and do the news.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do the news and run it side by side with a no or whatever, because the no is their
the Rooster Teeth brand.
I was like, run it side by side with a no, whatever. We'll do it. And he was like, oh, okay. and he got it. And then along the way, I was like, well, I know Lawrence he loves the news and wants to be in charge of this, so do it.
Done, yeah.
Do it. And Lawrence did it, still doing it.
Yeah.
Doing a great job.
He has to work with that Aaron Porter kid though. Terrible.
Oh, I love Aaron Porter.
Wish I could help
you. Such a good dude.
Terrible. Terrible hat choices. Lovely wife. Oh, terrible person.
Got it.
hate him. Nah.
it just all worked out. And it was why, I don't know if the kind of funny audience is familiar with this whole thing, but when we, there's a story when we left Machinima, we were looking into starting the Inside Gaming brand on our own. But Machinima owned the brand. So we talked with the CEO and we talked with a few other people and we're like, hey, we want to start this for you and you guys can take a little piece or whatever. We'll just run our own business, do our own thing. And they're like, it's going to cost you $3 million to get the Inside Gaming brand. And all of us went, to pay for ourselves? we're gonna pay $3 million for ourselves? And he's like, well, that's what it's gonna cost. Well, I guess we don't have that money, so we'll move on to Rooster Teeth and start another brand.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's what we gotta do.
Yeah.
So when that came back around,
justice.
We didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was free.
Yeah.
And I was, again, blown away by the support of the audience that immediately came back to Inside Gaming. We're like, we can't wait. We're so excited you're doing this again. Keep doing it. Keep going. It's like you never left off.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
That's why I love it. It's such a cool story of, you know
it
what
is,
I mean?
Yeah.
I think people not understanding what internet content is and how brands actually exist, right? Of yeah, well, you might own the brand, but if everybody leaves, it's going to be an uphill struggle, regardless if you do it right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's a different thing where, with Beyond for me, right?
Yeah.
IGN, they did it right. They're in a great spot now. Yeah. But when Max and Brian had to come in and try to film
the takeover
for me and Colin, that was of course everybody was going to be pissed off and that, because it was trying to continue the same way. And I know that I've talked to people over there that were no, plenty of people lobbied inside to change it, but it wasn't a conversation of we want to fight the good fight and have this be an IGN brand, right? And you look at it now and it is totally.
Yeah,
you look at Dornbrush, you look at Max, you look at Brian, everybody who's loose over there who are working on it. They've made it their own thing and all that different stuff.
Yeah.
But that's so hard, right?
It,
and
it
so to be $3 million or nothing, fuck out of here.
Yeah, and that's what we had to do. We literally got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
I was okay. I mean, I guess. The IGN on the other side of that, converting new viewers to a brand, or I'm sorry, converting existing viewers to a brand that already exists that you guys were attached to.
Yeah.
Holy shit, is that hard?
Right.
That takes years.
And I felt so bad for them. You know what I mean?
Because it takes years.
Yeah, and it did. And they're finally there now. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And before they were doing it right. They were doing it correctly. They had the right people in there. But again, it's such a grind. You know what I mean? Especially to bring in somebody new and have to do that.
And that's also, as Max and Brian, they endure months of punishment.
Yeah.
Months of comments of just the meanest shit in the
totally.
World.
Yeah. And they did nothing.
And they didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know.
It all's well that
ends well.
Well.
Yeah,
I got there. I stumbled through. My final Funhouse question is, how did the team take it when you
were
I'm going to leave?
I was, obviously, they were all bummed. but everybody was really nice and supportive and encouraging. Literally every single one of them was like, one of the first things they were like, well, we want you to take care of you.
If you're not happy here.
And they were like, we want you to be happy.
Yeah.
So obviously we don't want to lose you, but we want you to be happy. And I was like, wow, that was so nice. It was really nice to hear that, because I had been in other places, not where I left, but like I had heard stories, horror stories of people leaving and people like, fuck off, fuck you, dude.
You're
leaving the team. And it wasn't like that at all.
Awesome.
It was like, everyone was like, we're really sad, but we want you to be happy and do your own thing.
Good.
And I was like, well, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You're like, I'll never talk to any of you again.
Literally never. No. I was just texting with Adam and Lawrence the other day.
Oh.
Lawrence and I just played games literally just yesterday.
Wow. Look at that. We're all going to EGLX too, right? It's you.
Yeah.
It's you for your twitch.tv/BruceGreen.
Yeah.
Me, Andy, and Nick, and then it's James and Elise, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to talk to you guys about that because I might need some help on a panel.
Oh, okay. Well, we can talk about that. Just like I want to talk about the friend zone. We have people on patreon.com/kindoffunny right into the friend zone to ask you questions. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to make this show happen and get it ad free. And then I read the ads here, right, Kip? Yeah, okay. Today's sponsors, MeUndies. Ooh. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, they asked me to do the ghost noises. Halloween. Remember when planning your costume as a kid was the most fun you could have pre-Christmas? And now that you're an adult, Halloween feels less Halloween-y. Am I right? Well, MeUndies is bringing back the childlike joy of picking out the perfect costume with their spooky prints and Halloween costume onesies. That's right. Costumes, onesies, boo. MeUndies undies. They're spooky soft. Like designed to be the best thing you've ever put on your body soft. Like softer than a fluffy kitten dressed up in a pumpkin costume. Like softer than the brains zombies love to eat. Is that too far? Well, you get the idea. These are the softest undies known to man, and they're available in sizes extra small to 4XL. Soft for all. MeUndies has one of the most unique prints out there this year, but the Halloween prints, they're on another spooky level. This year, MeUndies is coming out with a variety of festive prints to really put the boo in booty. Didn't think undies would be part of your Halloween costume game? Well, think again. Their unique prints and are designed to be mixed and matched and turned into the most guaranteed first prize at the costume contest costume. If you don't feel like leaving the house, that's cool too. Just wear the Halloween costume onesies to pass out candy and you're good to go. You got it all set for the kids. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your first to get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and that 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Our next sponsor is HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. These home-cooked meals are made simple. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything you need to get wow-worthy dinners on the table in just about 30 minutes. You can say goodbye to endless grocery store trips and takeout food. HelloFresh has you covered. Break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh's 20-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. Y'all know I love to cook and Jen loves to cook. We started using HelloFresh. We made some burgers the other day, Adam. Oh, no, Bruce. Oh, no. That's fine. No, it's because I looked over the same. Does it? Tim and me look exactly the same now, too.
All the time.
It used to be funny when people would call Nick and Tim, they'd switch them up.
Yeah.
Now Tim looks like me.
It's okay.
Anyways, these burgers are fantastic.
I know.
That's what I'm driving at.
We've
had them?
Well, HelloFresh, we had sponsored Funhouse as well.
Don't, that's your old place. Don't talk about that anymore.
I'm allowed to talk. Why not?
I'm just telling you, all right? You got to cut them out of your life.
You say the word.
Don't go like HelloFresh is flexible and it fits your lifestyle. You can add extra meals to your weekly order as well as get yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough. And let me tell you, Greg Miller loves some cookie dough. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/morning80 and enter the code morning80. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/morning80. Enter the code morning80. It's like receiving 8 meals for free. And then our final sponsor of the day is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. You've heard the tired story. I came here. I got a loan back in 2007. And boy, howdy, did I have a bad interest rate. This would have been helpful. Because Upstart goes beyond your credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education
education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you and understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. And the best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/morning to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/morning. All right.
Man, you are professional.
Hey, man.
You are a professional.
I'm not here
right
to pay
now
the bills. You know what I mean?
And you do it. Up here. You do it. Actually, your audience does it too. They actually go in and buy those sponsorships.
That's they do. That's
why I'm still with you.
Exactly. 100%. Thank you all for being best friends and supporting the shows. And if you're like, I don't like those ads, remember patreon.com/kindoffunny. You get it ad-free.
There you go.
You got an option. You're in the friend zone now, Bruce.
Right. Fuck. I don't want to be here.
Too bad. Since you're here.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. Carlos writes in
yeah
to patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, for Bruce Green, which chapter of your professional life do you feel shaped you the most as a content producer slash creator? G4, Machinima, Inside Gaming, Funhouse, or something else? I'll miss you on the regular Funhouse content, specifically your voice and experience you brought to every podcast. I don't doubt you'll do great next.
Oh, thank you. That's very, very nice. Carlos, was it?
Carlos.
Carlos. Well, Carlos, this is a cop-out answer.
There we go.
It's really hard to tell you which one shaped me the most. I'm going to say, if I had to pick one, it would probably be G4. And the reason is because I learned there that how to get a voice, how mm-hmm to get a content voice, and also how to produce well. So that is something that I've, across my years, have run into with people who are producers and have been producers for years. And I'm like, oh no, they don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And I kind of watch them flounder. I'm not talking about people that I know or have worked with. It's just more of like people that I've seen that I'm like, uh-oh. That's what G4 taught me. It taught me how to produce. And I think that's probably given me the best background to content create. And something like as simple as Destiny, where I knew I had to have 80 gigs installed before launch when it came out, right? So I was like, well, if I'm going to stream this at 10 a.m. when it launches, I got to download the thing. I got to make sure all my characters are ported over. I got to make sure all this other stuff. So I did as much as I could before the launch. And for the most part was prepared. Well, I talked to other people and they're like, oh dude, it took me forever to download this thing. And then I had to do this other thing. And I was like, well, yeah, because you didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they like, that was their job. It was my job to do it. So I was prepared. So
funny story in that vein too. Remember, you're streaming this afternoon and we have not talked about what you're playing. So we literally should figure out. I'm doing the next show. You should figure that out.
I figured the next hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever, I'm going to figure it out. I wanted to know also what you have available to stream.
Everything. We got everything.
Great. That's sort of the thing that I had been thinking about for days. Like I was like, well, what am I going to do at this time slot and what do they have available?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what shaped me, that. And then getting a content creator voice from G4.
Carlos has a daily double follow-up.
Ooh.
It says, what's the biggest achievement in your career so far?
Oh man. Biggest achievement? I don't know. I don't feel like I've achieved. So for me, it's like, I don't feel like I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve yet.
What do you want to achieve?
I constantly see, I aspire to the, like, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but the ninjas of the world.
Sure.
And the
best of the best. Who's top of the
best
game?
The best of the best. Jacksepticeyes, the like the Game Grumps, those guys that have been doing it for years, but also have like they've gotten to this amazing level of viewership and dedication from their fans and content quality and all other stuff. All this other stuff that no matter what you think of them, hate them, you like them. With Ninja,
you got to respect the hustle.
You got to respect the hustle. Yeah. And it's the same with like Shroud and XQC and those dudes that are streaming. Like they're at the top of their game. Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah.
Like that dude fucking hustles. And it's paid off for him. So like that's what I aspire to do in terms of achievements, like hitting 1 million subscribers on the Funhouse channel, hitting 30 million views a month for that channel. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like so exciting for me. Yeah, that those sorts of things, but I haven't quite gotten to a point where I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, totally.
I did it. So we'll see. We'll see if I get there.
Sam Mosier writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, "Hey, Bruce, many streamers experience burnout because they feel pressure to stream as much as possible. How will you avoid burnout and practice self-care? P.S. Much love to you, Bruce. Thank you for being a constant source of positivity on the internet. Your wheeze laugh always makes my day."
Oh, thanks. So burnout. Yeah, that's an important thing because... right now, I'm not experiencing burnout, but I'm experiencing the pressure of trying to stream every day.
Yeah. That was one of your things when I invited you up here. I was like, hey, can you come up and do the shows and then do another day of shows and the pay-per-view? And you're like, I would love to, but I need to stream. I'm brand new at this.
Yeah. So every streamer that I've talked to that does it consistently and for a full-time job and has for years says, set a schedule.
Yeah.
And they're right. It's set a schedule of like Monday through Friday and then... don't stream on Saturday or Sunday. I don't care if you want to. Don't do it, because then you won't actually burn out. Because you're giving yourself a little time to recuperate. I'm not there yet because I'm just starting this, so I'm sort of like building momentum. I've set a schedule for myself, but I'm like trying to stream as much as possible. Really.
Sure.
I'm sure in a few months' time I will get there where I'm like, okay, guys, just so everyone's aware, I'm not streaming on Saturdays anymore. Just gonna take Saturdays off. And the audience is always really forgiving about that.
Sure,
they're always like, no problem. We get it. We understand. You're a human being just like all the rest of us. So do it. So schedule once I get there, once I've established myself the way I want to establish myself.
Was part of your self-care going to Area 51?
It was. You know how?
No.
I went to visit my dad.
Mm.
My dad lives about an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And it was also his birthday. So when I was like, my dad's birthday coincided with Area 51. I was like, this is perfect. I'll go. And then Autumn and I'll drive to Area 51, see what's going on. And my dad was like, hey, can I drive you? And I was like, I guess. Yeah. All right, Dad. Sure. Why not? So we did.
What was that like? Because I thought when I saw you tweet about it initially, I was like, ah, that's a funny joke. And then I was like, he's really at Area 51.
Yeah, it was great. I streamed from there for a couple hours. It was empty. Nobody was there. When we arrived at like 11 p.m., on that Thursday night before the weekend, when the supposed raid was 4 hours away.
Yeah.
There were 60 people there.
Yeah.
And like they had set up this whole music festival area, which was awesome. There was a ton of porta potties and like food vendors and whatever else. People were there manning them. Nobody was there. And some of the people were like, we'll go to the Area 51 gate and like take pictures there. And like, you know, like there won't be a raid. Everyone knew when you got
there. No one went there like they're going to get the aliens out.
No one was like, we're going to raid it. It was always like, we're just going to go see what's up. And my audience, when I was streaming, was like, don't go. You're going to get arrested. People are getting arrested. Blah, blah, blah. Turns out friends of mine, I didn't go. My friends of mine went to the gate and they were like taking pictures with the military. They were like chilling out, hanging out. Everybody's having fun.
Yeah.
And then like turned around and went home.
Yeah.
That was it. It was great.
What a heartwarming experience.
It was really great.
Was the food alien themed at the vendors?
I mean, yeah, everything was alien themed. Cool. Yeah, like I had a, you know, and I don't know how to say it. I had a shot of Jack, but it was like an out of this world shot of Jack or whatever it was. And I was like, whatever. And then I took the shot.
Just get in my body. I don't care what the hell it is. Chad writes in. Yeah. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. As a huge Funhouse fan and a Kind of Funny best friend, I could not be more stoked about this. Now that you've had a month or two since going solo, I was wondering if you could talk a bit about the experience so far. What are the pros and cons compared to working as part of an entire team/channel? What are some of the things you didn't expect or foresee? Thanks, Papa Bruce. Can't wait to see you at EGLX. Parentheses, Greg 2, I guess.
Hell yeah, Chad. Hell yeah. I'll see you there. And you give me a bigger hug than Greg.
Oh, God damn it.
So the pros of working away from Funhouse and Rooster Teeth is that I'm not working for a company.
Yeah.
So now everything that I do, all the hustle that I put in is for me.
Yep.
It's for a brand that I'm building and that I can basically now say is part of me. And I can build up the actual clout of this brand and do what I want with it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that before. So that's a pro. The con is I don't get to collaborate as much with the people that I was collaborating with, the creative people that are there. So I don't have the rapport and the bounce that I had before when I could sit down and talk with people about whatever.
Was that expected? Like, did you like,
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. Yeah. And truthfully, like I love streaming with people and that's one of the reasons why is because I get to have that collaboration aspect of like sitting with people and talking with, and like being creative with them and having fun and that sort of thing.
So. As you know, the friend zone open to people on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, I do allow people in the office to come to the shock mic and ask questions.
Oh,
this
no.
legitimately hasn't happened, I think, since episode 2, though. So what do you got for me, Andy Cortez?
Hey, guys.
Andy Cortez. Twitch.tv/ Is it Nitro Rifle?
Andy Cortez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nitro. Well, we're two different people, Bruce.
Oh, gotcha.
Two different people. I have a question for you, Bruce. If you were in our office for 2 days and you enjoy drinking beverages, what sort of beverages would you enjoy having, like with food or just recreationally?
I think he's asking because there's a lunch order.
We're doing a little CVS run. Yeah, we're doing a little CVS run.
Truthfully, it's water or juice.
What kind of juice?
Naked juice.
Oh. You like Odwalla? Because Andy likes Odwalla.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those.
Yeah, I love those.
Any of those. It doesn't matter.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for dropping by, guys.
That was a great question.
You want to stream with Bruce later? You get on.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I was really laughing at the chat right now because they were like, you know, Bruce is like, well, what do y'all got here to stream? And Greg was like, everything. And they were like, some people in the chat were like, they've got everything, but like only on PS4.
I was going to say, it's all PS4.
We have an Xbox somewhere.
You have a PC?
Yeah. Well, no, it's what streams the thing. Oh, yeah. But Kevin's, we got the laptops. We got a laptop.
I don't think they work is what I heard Kevin say.
I mean, they work fine.
I said that great.
Yeah, if you want to run Destiny at like low settings, it can probably work fine. You know what I mean? If you ran your PlayStation 4 Pro, it would look great. You know what I'm saying? Cross-save your shit over.
I'm going to ask you after this. I want to do a party game with you guys. It's what I want to do on PS4.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, cool. We got those.
Yeah.
Two questions left for you, all right?
Yeah.
Chase Winters writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Bruce Green question. Is there a particular bit or video that took on a life of its own that surprised you?
I would assume he's referring to Funhouse.
I mean, it could be your entire career.
Well, truthfully, the ska came before reggae thing.
Yeah.
That was the thing that, when I was 16 and ska was a thing in 1998, my friends, when we were listening to it, a friend of mine would always be like, you know, ska came before reggae. And also like, whoa, really? That's so weird because we assume for some reason, because you're in the scene, right? You think, well, reggae is just ska slowed down because it truthfully kind of is. Reggae's got an upbeat in it and ska has an upbeat, but ska is faster. This is stupid. I don't want to talk any more about this.
I like Catch 22.
Catch 22 is a great band.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was a big deal because people thought that reggae gave birth to ska, but in reality it was ska came before reggae.
Okay.
So I get that tweet every day, multiple times a day from multiple people of, you know, ska came before reggae. And I'm like,
I'm aware.
I know. I don't. Yeah. I said it once to fill time in a Funhouse video because no one was talking. And I was like, and somebody mentioned ska. And I was like, and that's why I said it, because I thought it would be funny and ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was.
And it was.
And here it is.
And here it is.
Now it's a you put that on a shirt. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Rooster Teeth owns that. I don't
know. Nah, they'll never pay attention. Don't worry about it. You just try the shit we get away with. Don't worry about it. You're fine. Lee Polero gets the final question. He wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny. It says, Bruce, if I remember correctly, you're originally from Santa Barbara. I'm going there on my honeymoon in October. What is something we should check out? Thank you.
Okay, so well, number one, I'm not from there. I did live there for 10 years.
No, that counts. Just fucking tell them where to go.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, going there on a honeymoon.
It totally counts.
I'm going to say, oh, this is a good one. Go to Goleta Beach. Goleta Beach is kind of a shitty beach.
You're selling it.
Hold on. Goleta Beach is kind of a shitty beach. You're going to go, was it soon?
Lee.
No,
October. Yeah, so it's
perfect,
soon.
Perfect. Okay. So it's probably going to be like a little blown out. There's like a slough that runs in the middle of it. You're going to have to cross the slough. But on the other side, the beach, out there are no rules. I have seen many a nude out on this beach because no one's on the beach.
Okay.
It's this really long stretch of beach. You can do whatever you want. It's your honeymoon.
That's perfect for honeymoon, yeah.
It's your honeymoon.
That's a good one.
There are even little shelters that the nudes have built that they can lay behind in the case that one person walks by, like me. For example,
yeah,
I wasn't a nude.
I was gonna say, yeah.
I was not a nude, but
did
I could have been.
Scurry into their holes.
Yeah, they would. They would literally scurry into their holes and like lay down, so that and they had a, like this wood shelter around them to make sure that nobody could see them.
Gotcha.
So it's an unofficial nude beach.
Oh wow!
You may possibly have sex within the bounds of marriage there on the beach.
Wow! What a romantic honeymoon. with some guy in a wood shack looking at you.
Maybe. He might be gone, Bruce. Though. Maybe it might be me.
You never know.
I love Goleta Beach.
Goddamn.
Just saying.
Bruce, thank you for being our cool friend.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me.
Everybody can keep up with you, twitch.tv/BruceGreen.
That's right.
You're streaming pretty much all the time?
Pretty much all the time. And it's usually the afternoons and evenings Pacific time.
Okay.
So generally, it ends up being later rather than earlier for most people.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is We Have Cool Friends. Remember, each and every Monday, we bring one of our cool friends to tell about the cool things they're doing. Next week, Tim is bringing Star-Lord himself here, Andrew McLean. He's coming in. He's been a Star-Lord down at Disney World. He's going to talk about what it's like to work for Disney and to be
awesome.
The touring Star-Lord.
That's
and all
really
this crazy
cool.
Stuff. It's really, his stories are insane. I'm excited to see Tim talk to him about that. Remember, that'll be Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunny, patreon.com/kindoffunny, podcast services, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. It's all over the place. Basically, just you'll find it. Go when your postman comes by, say, hey, where do I get We Have Cool Friends? he'll tell you his favorite platform or hers, and you'll know, all right? Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.